The epistle for the second Sunday of Lent is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 4. Brethren, we pray and beseech you in the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so also you would walk, that you may abound the more. For you know what precepts I have given to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles that know not God, and that no man overreach nor circumvent his brother in business. Because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, as we have told you before and have testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto sanctification in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. It is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 17. At that time Jesus taketh unto him Peter and James and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then Peter, answering, said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And as he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And lo, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And the disciples, hearing, fell upon their face, and were very much afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, and said to them, Arise and fear not. And they, lifting up their eyes, saw no one, but only Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, till the Son of Man be risen from the dead. Thus far are the words of today's Holy Gospel. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. Words taken from today's gospel, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When our blessed Lord suffered his agony in the garden, three people witnessed this sorrowful event. And before our Lord began his bloody sweat, he personally chose three of his apostles to accompany him. The first pope, St. Peter, and the Boanerges, the sons of thunder, James and John. And St. Luke tells us that these three chosen apostles were about a stone's throw away from our Lord as he underwent the first sorrowful mystery of the rosary, the agony in the garden. To be able to see our Lord in his agony is incomprehensible to our minds. Where our Lord would have sweat, was seen blood to come forth out of the very pores in his body. To see their master, the one whom they had been following for 3 years, always at his side, learning from him, believing in him, knowing that he was God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, now to see their leader overcome with terror, shaken with grief, so much so that he began to sweat blood. Must have moved them more than we can imagine. And our Lord, before this occurrence in the Garden of Gethsemane, prepared his apostles for this moment, knowing that they would be shaken by this shocking sight. Not long before our Lord allowed himself to undergo this agony in the garden, he strengthened his apostles so they would be able to bear with it. And that's why he chose Saints Peter, James, and John to come with him to the mountain and to be able to see him as they had never seen him before. They were able to see the divinity of Jesus Christ in a certain sense. They were not able to see the beatific vision as the saints see him in heaven, but they nevertheless did see his divine splendor. And that's why the evangelists write that it was as brilliant as the sun, that his clothing radiated luminous rays. His features, his appearance, became transformed so gloriously into a sight more beautiful and stunning than we could ever imagine. In fact, it was so spectacular that St. Peter said, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." And he said, "Let us make here three tents, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias," because they also were able to be there in the vision with our Lord. And they did not want to leave because they had a glimpse of the divine nature in a certain sense. They did not see the divine nature with their bodily eyes, and it did not diminish their trust and confidence in his divinity because they believed that he was the Son of God. Our Lord asked St. Peter before this, "Who do you say that I am?" And remember what St. Peter responded, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." So they believed in his Godhead, they believed in his divinity, and their belief rested on their faith. It was through the eyes of faith that they knew he was the Son of God, and not by anything that they saw with their bodily eyes. So you can see how much we have in common with the apostles. We are very similar in many, many ways to the apostles. When we have the availability to make the 14 stations which hang upon the walls of our church during Lent, we should make every opportunity to be here to put ourselves in the presence of our Lord in each mystery. We should be able to stand before each mystery given to us to ask ourselves, how would I have acted were I in this mystery? What would I have done? The apostles were not, as I said, able to see the divine nature as the saints see him in heaven. We are very similar because we do not see the divine nature in the Eucharist. We see the round white host. We see the accidents of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is something which tests our faith. That's why our faith has to be, as our Lord said, a lively faith. To a certain extent, we all have a greater or a lesser faith, depending on our prayer life, depending on our sanctity, depending on how much we struggle to follow our Lord in His passion. That's why Lent is such a glorious and powerful time. The amount of graces which our Lord has in store for us are immense. And how much better Catholics would we be if our faith were stronger? Imagine if we had really seen our Lord there with the apostles on that Transfiguration Day. How we would change our lives if we were able to see what they saw. And that's why He chose them. He chose St. Peter, the first pope, and Saints James and John before their conversion, in a certain sense. Remember when the apostles, the Boanerges, the Sons of Thunder, were with our Lord, and He went into that city, and He tried to preach to them. And the people of the city ran Him out. They refused to hear the doctrines of the faith. And James and John told our Lord, they said, call down fire and brimstone and burn or consume this town. They had a false zeal, and our Lord reprimanded them and said, you know not of what spirit you are. And St. John went on to become the beloved disciple, the one who would care for the Blessed Mother by our Lord Himself, given to her. He changed for the better to have a true zeal and became such a great saint. The evangelist, St. John, one of the four evangelists, great apostle. And he was given this vision of the Transfiguration to prepare him for the first sorrowful mystery of the Rosary, which began historically before the first of the 14 stations. That's why the Rosary is a great help to enable us to follow the 14 stations. We can prepare ourselves to accompany our Lord through His passion after we join with these three apostles in the garden and see Him sweat blood. Remember also the other apostle, St. Thomas. St. Thomas, when the other apostles told him that they had seen the Lord, he was so hard-headed that he said, unless I see and put my hand into His side and my finger into the nails, the wounds in His hands, I will not believe. That's where St. Thomas was. How often do we imitate St. Thomas? That we remain rigid, then unless we see, we will not believe. Faith is seen without believing. And that's why our Lord appeared 8 days later and told him, put your hand into my side and be not faithless but believing. Blessed are they who have not seen and who believe. We and all Catholics fall into that category of the they. Blessed are they who have not seen and who believe. That's us. We have not seen our Lord in his divine nature through the veils of the accidents of bread and wine during a Mass. And yet we believe. That is true faith. And our Lord will reward us for that. And that is what we should all see on this Sunday in the Transfiguration. We are given a help. We're given the ability to put ourselves with the apostles and to ask our Lord for the help to continue in our belief, to ask him for a greater faith in the Holy Eucharist. That's why during the elevation of the Mass, we should say with St. Thomas, "My Lord and my God." To gain the 7 years indulgence every time we repeat that invocation during the Mass. Every Mass we attend is an opportunity to draw closer to our Lord. That when we feel that aloofness, that distance between ourselves and our Lord because of a want of faith, because of a weakness of faith, that's the time to say, "My Lord and my God, give me strength. Give me a greater faith, a livelier faith in you, so that we may accompany you through Lent, through the Passion, to arrive at holiness, to fashion ourselves after our Lord." Every one of us should be more holy when we leave this chapel after Mass than when we walked in the doors. And if there is any want or lack of holiness, it falls to us, because our Lord, of course, being infinite perfection, is there for us. He's waiting for us. He wants us to ask him. So when we come to the communion rail, see through the accidents of the bread and wine. See our Lord standing there as he transfigured himself before the apostles. And see, "My Lord and my God, it is good for us to be here. May we not want to leave. Let us set up 3 tents. Let us remain in the chapel. Let us pray our prayers of thanksgiving after Mass with devotion." And when we leave the chapel, when we leave Mount Tabor with the 3 apostles to go home and to continue living with a lively faith, as the 3 apostles did, as St. Peter went on to be the first pope to solidify the church in its origin, to be strong as Saints James and John were during the week, until we come back to church on Sunday, until we come back to the Mount Tabor, to Transfiguration Sunday. It's interesting to think, if you compare it to a fire during the winter season, of course, we all have some form or another of heat, but to place yourself in the a situation where, maybe in the old days, where the fire was the source of warmth. And it's freezing. It's cold, absolutely frigid, and they needed wood for a fire to live, to survive. And say, for instance, the North American martyrs in New York in the wintertime. And they're going from the Huron mission to an outpost, and they're there overnight. Without that fire, they would have died, as many others would. But with the fire comes life, because of the heat. In a very real sense, our Lord Jesus Christ is the fire. His Sacred Heart is the flames. The closer we are to him, the more on fire we will be with love for our Lord. And may you have a holy Lent. And God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.